Over the last couple of decades, we have seen the rise of some celebrity chefs. Bobby Flay, Anthony Bourdain, Gordon Ramsay, the list goes on and on.
And with us now is an award-winning chef on his way to celebrity status. Shin Thompson is currently the executive chef at Niku X in downtown L.A. Thanks for being with us. The first thing I got to ask is what's the X for?
Well, Niku is just means meat in Japanese.
Okay.
So we specialize in Wagyu beef. X is just part of our brand. So the first of the restaurants in the group, one of the first was X-Pot in Las Vegas. So it's just part of the brand.
So here's a really dumb first question. How do you become an executive chef?
Well, there's many different ways, I guess, paths to becoming a chef, right? You know, working your way up in a executive chefs that have worked their way up from being a dishwasher, and then they learn the prep, and then they learn how to cook the cold food station and the hot food station, and then eventually everything there is to know about the kitchen, and then one day they become a chef. That's one path, I suppose. And I took a kind of unusual path, I guess. Not unusual in that... I mean, I worked in restaurants, of course, but I really first got into food through traveling. My dad worked at United Airlines, and so I really got into food at a pretty young age, just traveling around the world and experiencing different cuisines and cultures. And then it got me interested in food enough where I went to culinary school and, of course, worked in restaurants. But I opened my first restaurant pretty young, at the age of 26.
Wow.
Yes.
I always think it's interesting, you know, when speaking to a chef who is trying to create new things, because I think of food and I think there's only so many foods, right? And how do you create something new from these elements that are just, you know, elements that we've had forever? And I suppose it's like writing a novel. You're using 26 American letters and yet you create something new from that. Is cooking and being a chef like that? And how do you come up with ideas for putting things together that haven't been put together before?
Right. So that's a good question. Interesting thought. I think there's so many possibilities with food and cuisine. I mean, you say there's 26 letters in the alphabet. I mean, there's literally tens of thousands of different foods. Just a lot of them we're just not familiar with because they're not incorporated into our daily lives. And so... something that we do special at Niku X is we source rare ingredients, which tend to be a little bit more expensive, so we're a higher-end restaurant. But we have these rare ingredients that people don't see very often.
Like what?
Imported from Japan and all these different places. One example we have on the menu is actually a very simple palate cleanser. It's a plant called ice plant. And it's got these like crystallized shapes on it, and you just don't see it very often. But we work with a farm out of San Diego that specializes in growing these for us. And that's one example. We get from Japan. The other day we got my fish vendor in Japan said I got these dragonfish, and they're like these really cool looking fish with these dragon like wings, and even the mouth looks like a dragon. And we make sashimi out of it. So there are like literally thousands, of different ingredients that we don't see every day. And
is it hard when you have a restaurant and when you're a chef to introduce, food and sort of innovative ingredients that you're talking about now to a public that might not be familiar with it? How do you go about that process of saying to somebody, you haven't had this before, you probably have never tasted anything like it before, but trust me, you should try it?
Yeah. I think a lot of it comes from a trust factor with the chef, right? You know, if a no-name restaurant, no-name chef, and you're just making things that nobody's ever heard of before, it's kind of a tough sell. So, I mean, we try to introduce things that are familiar as well and gain trust with the people that have had our food, and then they come back a second time. Because they love the experience the first time, and then they're open to trying new things and gives the chefs more creativity and leeways to kind of play with the ingredients, and they're more open to it that way.
We were talking during the break a bit that your restaurant, fortunately, your current restaurant, missed that period of the pandemic where restaurants had to shut down and pivot to takeout. But nonetheless, the restaurant industry is a tough business to be in, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there's a lot of variables in a restaurant. You know, there's not only the food, the marketing, the business side, but you're dealing with people every day. And managing a large team that everyone has their own specific roles, it's a lot of work that goes into it.
Now, I imagine you get to be a great chef because you make things that people enjoy eating. Have you ever created something and someone just hated it and told you so?
Oh, all the time.
And how do you respond?
Well, I mean, that's part of the risk when you're doing something like really experimental, right? And like you're trying to create dishes that no one's had before, and there's going to be a lot of failures like along the way. So usually I test them out with my own team and our
and it's got to taste good to you,
right?
Right
to me, yeah. And then also our chef team. We all do tastings all the time, and sometimes there's like a divide. You know, people really like something that can be dishes can be polarizing. You know, like depending on what the individual likes. So.
So what kind of chef are you in the kitchen? Because a lot of our listeners probably the only familiarity they have, the only way they're familiar with.
Yeah. We need food, Charles.
We need food, yes. They have with chefs as they watch these celebrity chef shows, and some of them are very theatrical, the chefs, and some of them are tyrants, and some of them are... What kind of executive chef are you in the kitchen? Are you like easy to work with, or are you you rule with an iron spatula?
I generally think nowadays I'm easier to work with.
Nowadays,
I think when I was younger and I was coming up, I felt like I had something to prove, and I was more of a harder to work with in terms with the dealing with the people around me. It has to be a certain way. I mean, there's still, of course, you have to uphold to a standard, but I think I've adjusted my style.
You've mellowed.
Maybe mellowed in a way, but also, just by experience, just learning from things that didn't work in the past or that backfired in the past, that, you can't be that tyrant of a chef in the kitchen. People don't, especially nowadays, people don't respect that. They don't like that. They don't want to work with somebody like that. And I don't blame them. That's, No one wants that.
Do you have a creation that you've made that is your favorite?
Someone told me before that you don't create your signature dish. Your guests do. Your customers do. They decide on what that is. And so there was a dish that I made. This was 10 years ago now. And it was just a very simple a scallop dish in a scallop shell, and it was baked with a Japanese, it was a very fresh piece of scallop, some crab meat, and a sauce, basically. And that became my signature dish because the customers and guests made it that.
I want to go back to something you said in the beginning about how your father, you said, worked for United, an airline.
That's right.
And so you did a lot of traveling as a kid, and, mm-hmm. and you said that influenced your whole take on food. Right. So I am curious about that. How did that work? Was there one particular country of all the countries you went to that had the most impact, and what did you learn from them?
Right. Well, my mother is Japanese, so and as you might know, that Japan has a huge food culture. Food is just huge there. It's what they do, and they have many different types of cuisine within Japanese food. But yeah, the travel. So I spent a lot of time in Japan and all over Asia, and I think some of my influence is definitely that Asian Japanese side, but the other is very European in that, traveling to France, and of course the French are world-renowned for their cuisine, right? And I went to culinary school that taught French classical techniques, and so I kind of have this both sides with the French, the Japanese, Asian, European.
Well, how does so you're kind of French Japanese fusion? Is that kind of it? Or?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a fusion. More or less, it's more of a contemporary take on. Or so Niku X is a yakiniku restaurant. Yakiniku is basically Japanese barbecue. But most of the yakiniku restaurants that we see are very traditional style. It's served with very specific accompaniments and sauces, and we like to play around with those. And sometimes we do use like a French technique, for example, with the aiolis, or you know, just different techniques, making custards, that kind of thing. And the Japanese also are very influenced by the French in their cuisine. A lot of people don't know that, but the Japanese love French cuisine to the point where they kind of stole some of that technique and made it into their own. So I wouldn't necessarily call it a fusion, but more of a contemporary. I mean, we take influences from not only French, but you know, we have a something called a umeboshi chimichurri sauce. A chimichurri is a steak sauce that you see in South America, and we put Japanese pickled plums in it.
Wow.
To give it that punch. And so it's very different with the style that we incorporate into a yakiniku restaurant.
All right. Niku X is a restaurant in downtown L.A., getting a lot of great reviews. That is the chef there, Shin Thompson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.